Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Put out for you! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Well, the Celtics didn't do themselves any favors tonight. 48 hours after handing the Brooklyn Nets an extremely embarrassing loss on the parquet floor at TD Garden Friday night, they lose the second half of the home-at-home with the Brooklyn Nets out at Barclays Center tonight by a score of 111-101. Welcome in to CLNS Radio's post-game coverage of the Celtics and the Nets. Again, tonight, the Celtics lose to the Brooklyn Nets, and Mike Gorman said it best towards the end of the game here. This is a difficult, difficult loss for the Celtics. Mike Gorman, of course, the latest guest on Celtics Beat on CLNS Radio with Larry H. Russell. Make sure you check that out. Go on to iTunes, Stitcher, or the CLNS Radio app and search for Celtics Beat to catch that episode. But again, tonight, the Celtics dropped this one to the Brooklyn Nets and don't do themselves any favors with Brooklyn's number one draft pick, which we'll get into a little bit later. Don't forget to check out our new Twitter handle exclusively for the post-game show. Be sure to follow at CLNS, Celts PG Show, to tweet live with the host. But get in queue now when we open up the FanDuel call lines. They're already lining up. It's 347-215-7771. I will be joined by Nick Gelso in a little while here to break this one down and talk about this weekend series with the Brooklyn Nets. But again, get in queue when we open up the FanDuel call lines, 347-215-7771. And also don't forget that this episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit lynda.com/CLNS. That's lynda.com/CLNS. Of course, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio, the network that is, as well as facebook.com/CLNSfans to follow us over on Facebook. The Celtics struggled tonight from the get-go. It was very apparent right from the start of this game that the Nets were bringing much more intensity, and they talked about it before the game. If you watched the pregame, Lionel Hollins obviously got his team a little bit more ready for this one than they were on Friday night in Boston, and it was clear from the very start of this game. And they ended up, shooting over 50% for this game, just over 50%. I call it 51. It was around 52 for a while there at the end of the game, but pretty consistently throughout the game, they were hitting big shots. Got out to a very big lead in the first half really held off any runs by the Celtics. The Celtics did have a couple of pretty decent runs in this one to get back into it. I believe they got as close as four before the Nets were able to pull away in this one, and again win 111-101 at the Barclays Center this afternoon. Couple of bright spots for the Celtics. Let me get to this first, because before the game started, we were notified that Marcus Smart, who was injured on Friday night, has an knee injury, and it looks like he had a subluxation of the knee, and basically what it was described as is the bones kind of popping out and popping right back in together. Brad Stevens said that it would be a couple of weeks, but reports that I saw on Twitter from a number of different sources that were you know, that were posting it on Twitter said it could be up to 6 weeks. So that's obviously the momentum that that Marcus has gained since coming back from a previous injury is all gone now. And I think it was apparent in the game tonight. I think with Marcus Smart in this game, the outcome is a lot different. But Avery Bradley certainly stepped up. I mean, you know, if you've read any of the work on CLNSradio.com, you know, we talked about from Friday night's game on the Garden Report, Avery Bradley coming off the bench and being the sixth man. But tonight he got the start with Isaiah Thomas, Sullinger, Crowder, and Amir Johnson, and played 40 minutes tonight. And, you know, for the most part, kept them in the game in the second half. He kind of struggled in the first half a little bit, but caught fire in the second half and kept them in this game. Went for 27 overall on 9 of 20 shooting. Hit a bunch of threes there in the second half to keep the Celtics in this game and actually helped them get it down to 4 before the Nets pulled away again. Also contributed with 4 rebounds and an assist. Isaiah Thomas also had 27 points for the Celtics tonight on 8 of 19 shooting in his 31 minutes, and also contributed 6 assists. But again, with Isaiah Thomas, similar to what happened to him last week, got a little out of control on a couple of plays and ended up with some costly turnovers. That may be something that we're going to have to keep our eye on. Great as Isaiah Thomas is, and I think that I've noted this on the post-game show before, or even on other podcasts that I've appeared on, that as great as Isaiah Thomas is, there's certain times where he can get out of control and get a little sloppy with the ball. And that may have been the case on a couple of occasions tonight where the Celtics could have got a little bit closer and weren't able to due to turnovers. And if you look at the turnover numbers for the Celtics tonight, they had 17, which was, you know, pretty costly as the Nets were able to turn those into points quite often. Brooklyn's biggest lead in this game was 22 points, and that was in the first half tonight. So the Celtics obviously did make a run at it in the second half, but ultimately lose this one 111 to 101, again, down at the Barclays Center, and giving the Nets and their fans a little bit of hope that maybe this unprotected pick that the Celtics have in the first round will not be as high up in the draft as Celtics fans would like them to be. But CLNS Radio and the CLNS Beat podcast series and Audible are giving you a free audiobook from the world's largest online library. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, sports, and periodicals. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics to claim your free audiobook. That's audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. Again, I'm going to be going to the FanDuel toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. We'll be taking your call in a few minutes here. Again, the toll-free number, 347-215-7771 is the number. Get in queue now. And we are going to go to the FanDuel call lines at 347-215-7771. As I see our friend Nick Sesento is waiting patiently, as he usually is at the top of the show. Again, the CLNS Radio call lines are powered by FanDuel. FanDuel is a leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts. They are paying out over $75 million a week this football season. I love the salary cap format. Pick any players you want for just 1 week. Entry fees start at just $1, and anyone can play. So go to FanDuel.com and use the CLNS promo code Patriots for a free play. Again, Nick Sesento from down in Tampa. Welcome into the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show, Celtics Nets. What do you got for us tonight in this tough, difficult loss by the Celtics, Nick?
Fifth of whiskey. there's not much to really say about, I mean, this game. I think that the noise machine, this, you know, happened since, you know, this been happening throughout the season, and especially since we, you know, tore into the Brooklyn Nets the other night. I don't think players, you know, listen to everything that's said, you know, on the, through the media and stuff, but I think that the Brooklyn Nets are very much aware of exactly what you were talking about earlier about the about the draft pick. They're very much aware of that, and I think that, you know, they don't, these players don't see all the memes that pass by. They don't, you know, see all the tweets, but they know that the Celtics have not just, you know, owned them on the court, but also kind of have this mentality that we own your future as well. And I think that, you know, this wasn't just for the Nets. This was like their playoffs almost, because this wasn't really just a game for them. This was also, you know, we're gonna take control of our future, of our future, and even if we can't get that draft pick, we're gonna take control of exactly where that draft pick will be. Or at least we're gonna do our best to take, you know, control of where that draft pick will be. And they sent a message to the Celtics, tonight that, you know, you're not gonna, you know, you don't own our future that much, I think is really what it was. There was a lot more on the game. You could tell the intensity. There was just a lot more riding on this game for the Nets than there were for the Celtics. I watched the whole game, and I was, you know, it was just bad from beginning to end until, I mean, that last little spurt towards the end, which, I mean, might I mention that very horrible call, offensive foul on Jay Crowder, but, you know, shouldn't have let it get that bad in the first place to come down to a play like that. But, I mean, Nets just came out more intense. Not much else to say about the game. Front court, really bad. No idea what's going on. I mean, what's up with Amir Johnson and David Lee combining for, what, 2 points and two rebounds? I mean, these are guys that were added. Not very many, you know, minutes. Tyler Zeller got a few minutes squeezed in there, and, I mean, you know, very little. Also, he outperformed both of the other two, you know. Jonas not giving us very much, even in his 18 minutes. Even Jay Crowder, zero steals tonight. I mean, you can tolerate a Jay Crowder with 5 points and two rebounds, you know, when he's getting three steals a night. But when he's Jay Crowder, you know, 5 points and two rebounds, what's the point? Why is he getting those minutes? And, I mean, I just really, the front court was bad tonight. You know, if we're going to, you know, put it on ourselves and, you know, look at what, you know, really went wrong, it was, to me, the front court.
Absolutely. It seemed like on the offensive side of the ball, Nick, that, you know, that they really weren't looking down low. They weren't going to the hoop. They were settling for the outside shot. They were taking open shots for the most part. And, of course, Brad Stevens preaches that, you know, if you're that open, take those shots. And typically they've been going down. You know, obviously on Friday night, everything seemed to be going down for the Celtics. But it seemed the opposite was true tonight. I mean, it seemed like everything was going down for the Nets. And the Celtics weren't counteracting that by trying to get to the glass and get to the line as much. And that's really where they struggled. I mean, you know, they missed four free throws. They only took 21 of them to the Nets 33. And, you know, the Nets crushed them in the paint tonight. I don't have the exact stats in front of me of what the points in the paint were. But I believe the Nets had close to 40 points in the paint where the Celtics were somewhere in the 20s. So they really weren't pushing the issue trying to get into the lane. I did see some good penetration from Evan Turner a couple times. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas a few times, but there wasn't enough of that. And Scal even mentioned it. Brian Scalabrine mentioned it during the broadcast on CSNNE that you know, they really need to get to the hoop, and they weren't doing that. They were kind of settling for the outside shots, and most of these guys were struggling early. You know, luckily Avery Bradley caught fire and kind of kept them in this game. But I think you made a great point about the front court on the defensive end as well. Because you look at, you know, obviously Brook Lopez had 23 points tonight for the Nets, had 10 rebounds. You know, they were getting second chance opportunities. You know, Brooklyn had 14 offensive rebounds tonight. So I think that's a glaring stat right there. And Amir Johnson, Sullinger, even Olenek, David Lee, you know, these guys didn't get it done tonight. It was definitely a struggle for all of those guys tonight. And I think Mike Gorman is already trying to take back what he said on Celtics Beat this week about David Lee, saying that he's been playing really great defensively because he didn't show it tonight. But, you know, it's a tough matchup, I think, athletically for those guys. You know, I think they were doing some different things on Friday night, and obviously they had Marcus Smart in there as well. But it seemed like the length of the Nets front court was disruptive to them. You got Lopez in there. I thought Thaddeus Young played a pretty decent game for the Nets tonight as well. And, you know, Hollis Jefferson, although he only had 9 points, had 7 rebounds and 4 assists and seemed to be disruptive to the Celtics' flow in offense. I don't know. I don't know what you think about that, Nick, or if you have anything else for us.
Well, yeah, I think there's you know, no secret that our front court is pretty small. I mean, we're starting, you know, Amir Johnson and Jared Solinger. I think neither one of them is over 6 foot nine. So, I mean, they're small. Brooke Lopez a little bit bigger. I think, you know, he really made us look silly, you know, in the paint. Well, not even just in the paint. I saw him hit shots from outside the paint that I was like, what is he doing? And then it just, you know, swished right through. I mean, he was hitting our you know, front court players with moves, make them look like Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, he was having, you know, a game out there tonight, but... I mean, I just don't know. I thought there'd be more out of Amir Johnson, you know, defensively in the front, and maybe bang a little bit more. I don't know, but Avery Bradley, the last observation I want to make, switching away from just how terrible our front court looked. Avery Bradley, he missed a couple of games after the beginning of the season. I think like 5 games ago. This is his 5 games back. He missed a couple of games. I don't remember exactly what for. And then
it was a calf issue.
And then after that time, he got. I think he started coming off of the bench. Now I don't know if it was, you know, something that happened after the calf issue and then he came back, or it was, you know, the role coming off the bench. I don't think it was really coming off the bench, because I believe that he started tonight and had, you know, another incredible game, 27 points, you know, and contributing. But I was looking at it because I love the idea of Bradley coming off the bench, and I loved what I saw of the increased production of Bradley coming off the bench. And I went and looked at the statistics, and the 6 games that Bradley started at the beginning of the season, the Celtics went 3-3, and Bradley averaged 10.7 points, 45% field goal shooting, and 33% from three with one steal a game. And I prepared these stats in advance because I was trying to write something about it, but then Marcus Smart got injured, so it destroyed my entire article. But anyways, with the aggregate plus-minus rating of -8. But then after he came back from that calf issue, those 2 games coming off of the bench, in those 4 games as sixth man, this is prior to this game, the Celtics were 3-1. Bradley averaged 18.5 points per game with 55% field goal shooting, 53% from three with 2 steals per game, and an aggregate plus-minus of +63 over those 4 games. So there was like a drastic turnaround between what Avery Bradley was doing before that injury and what he was doing when he came back. And I don't think it has anything to do with the injury. It may have been the lineup, but something has been sparked in Avery Bradley where he's, you know, elevated his play significantly since that time. And, you know, tonight and the Dallas game being the exceptions, obviously, I mean, they've been killing other teams. I mean, they had, I think, you know, with the exception of Dallas, even with Dallas included, the 4-point loss, I think, at Dallas, they're outscoring their opponents in those 4 games, the previous 4 games, of 52 total points. They're blowing everybody out. So I'd like to see more from Avery Bradley. I thought he was a good good idea to get him off the bench, because you kind of need someone to pass the ball in the starting lineup, and Isaiah Thomas was that guy since Evan Turner got sat down. And they don't really like Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley together because they're small. And I didn't get the Celtics broadcast. I'm kind of stuck down here in Florida with the stream that I get. And I got the Nets broadcast, and it was horrible. And they just kept repeating over and over again of how, you know, it was difficult for Isaiah Thomas with his size to close out on the perimeter and close out on the players. And that's just the problem. I mean, you can have an awesome defensive player like Avery Bradley, but when he's, you know, a generous 6'2", and Isaiah Thomas is a generous 5'9", there's no closeout in the backcourt there. Those are two small players. So I like the idea of Bradley coming off the bench with Thomas and Smart, but now Smart's injured, so, you know, hopefully Bradley can continue to step it up, you know, in the starting role, and we can compensate for that lack of size in the backcourt. But Avery Bradley, the one shining, you know, shining light from tonight, Isaiah Thomas continue to shine. Boo to the front court. Boo to that call on the offensive foul on Jay Crowder. But I think the Celtics will continue to roll. It was a bump in the road. The Nets had something to prove, and they proved it, I guess. We'll still get a lottery pick out of the note.
Absolutely. All right, Nick. Appreciate the insight as always from down in Tampa, and appreciate the support from down there for all of us here. I muted you for a second, but I'll let you give a proper send off.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it, man, always. As always, it's, you guys always show me love, and I love coming on the show. You know, I'm the first, I try to be the first one to call. I call in with the 30 seconds left on the clock. That's my tradition. As soon as there's 30 seconds left on the game clock, I get on the phone and call so I can be the first one to come in and rant and make sure that I get the points in first. Sometimes I got to sit and listen to y'all for like a whole, like, half an hour before I get on here, but it's worth it. You always have some good insight and give me extra points to jump off, so I appreciate it,
That's
man.
Right. All right. Yep. Thanks for the call, as always, Nick. We'll talk to you very soon.
Take it easy.
All right. Nick Jacinto down in Tampa. If you're looking for to have some fun on Facebook and talk some Celtics, Nick is always posting some great stuff and supports us and promotes us whenever he can. So definitely search for our Boston Celtics CLNS Radio Pub Forum. And some of the other sites that he admins as well. You'll have some great fun talking some Celtics down there. Again, the call lines are open, 347-215-7771. Don't forget to press 1 if you want to come on the air with me tonight. Again, the FanDuel call lines, 347-215-7771. Again, Nick and I were talking about the injury to Marcus Smart and what that's going to mean for the Celtics going forward here. And we'll take a look at their upcoming schedule. They play again Tuesday night in Atlanta. Obviously, Atlanta playing very well this year, but the Celtics were able to come up with a victory when they played a couple of Fridays ago. You know, we'll see what happens going down there to their gym and playing minus Marcus Smart. But this is going to force Avery Bradley back into the starting lineup most likely for the foreseeable future. And, you know, I mean, if he can contribute the way he did tonight, certainly I think the Celtics are going to be in most of those games, but definitely need some help from the front court like Nick was alluding to there. You know, Sullinger struggled tonight. He's been playing very well. You know, a lot of the media has been tough on him, and we're no exception at CLNS Radio. But, you know, he has been playing very well of late. But tonight struggled, only 3 of 10 shooting, did have 9 points and 10 rebounds and 3 assists. But that was basically it from the front court. Amir Johnson played 18 minutes tonight, only took 1 shot, did not have 1 rebound. So that's very telling, and that's going to hurt them, you know, because the length of Amir Johnson is going to help them, especially when the other team is penetrating, to be able to you know, to be some sort of rim protector. I don't think he's known as one. But just to have that length, and you know, he's had some pretty good spurts where he's played well defensively and had some blocks in games. So on a night like this, when you're, you know, when you should be able to beat a team like the Brooklyn Nets, even though you wipe the floor with them Friday night and they're going to come back hungry, you know, when you're getting this guy that's playing 18 minutes and not contributing even 1 rebound, which is basically the reason why he's out there, if you ask me, you know, that's going to be a tough night. Jay Crowder struggled tonight. Yeah, you know, he only took 4 shots and did have that one 3-pointer taken away from him, as Nick alluded to in his call a minute ago. And you know, it's an interesting conversation to get into when you talk about Jay Crowder and that particular sequence. It's in Scal alluded this to on the broadcast from up here on CSNNE. This is the third time this week that he's been called for that particular offensive foul, where when he shoots a 3, his leg kicks out. Now that may be just his stroke, and it seems like that's the case, that's how he shoots. But obviously the refs are seeing it differently and seeing him as kicking the leg out to try and disrupt the defender or even trip the defender, which he did. He hits a 3-pointer, it gets taken away, and the Nets go back and score, and they're back up 9 or 10 or whatever it was at the time, when it could have been a 4-point game again, I believe, if I remember correctly. You know, and that was kind of a big turning point in the game here. But I don't know what Brad Stevens and the Celtics can do there, if they need to, you know, put together a couple of clips and send it to the league, you know, send it over to Sakakis and say, hey, this is how this guy shoots. So, you know, keep an eye on this. If this is how he's shooting and, you know, the defender is running into it, then it, you know, I think it's incidental. If he's defraying from that stroke at all from how his legs kind of sail out a little bit. And it's more, he kicks him out more. It's more, you know, pronounced that he's trying to kick his leg out. Then obviously it's a foul. I mean, they're trying to protect the defender. And, through history, I can think of guys like Reggie Miller that used to do it quite a bit to get an advantage. And they're trying to take that away from the shooter so they're not, purposely drawing a foul that way. But that was a big turning point in this game. But again, Jay Crowder struggled tonight. As Nick said, didn't have any steals, and that's really what he's been known for. And this team is looking like a record-breaking team when it comes to steals in this league, and their defense has been playing phenomenal. Tonight, not so much. Brooklyn, like I said, was hitting their shots, 40 of 79 overall, so just over 50% from them, and they were hitting it even hotter than that before getting a little bit cooler in that third quarter there. And I kept an eye on this. I mean, as I said, the Nets were up by 22. That was their biggest lead of the game. But it really wasn't until towards the latter part of the third quarter that the Celtics even started coming back and making it a game. They got it under 10. I believe there was only about three minutes left in the third quarter. So there was a good 9 minutes there, 8 or 9 minutes, where the Nets were still in control of the game until, Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley started heating up and were able to get this Celtics team back into the game. Ultimately, not enough. The Nets hit the big shots when they needed to. As I alluded to, Brook Lopez had 23 points tonight. But Jarrett Jack was really, outstanding in this game, I think. He was 7 of 11 shooting, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and hit a number of big shots when the Celtics were coming back. Had a couple of floaters, hit some jumpers. Old friend Joe Johnson had 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists in his 36 minutes on 5 of 10 shooting as well. The Nets had some pretty good contributions from some bench guys as well. Andrea Bargnani had 12 points off the bench, 6 of 9 shooting. Shane Larkin provided a spark towards the end of the first half and into the third quarter off the bench. Now, the stat sheet may not show it, although he did have 7 points in 5 assists in his 18 minutes. But he was getting the ball down low to Brook Lopez for some easy hoops there. That was extending the lead for the Nets early on in this game and helped get them to that 22-point lead in the first half. But Thaddeus Young was huge on the boards tonight, too. Not only did he have 11 points, but he had 12 rebounds. So the double-double for both Brook Lopez and Thaddeus Young tonight. Young, in his 28 minutes, really made some key rebounds that kept the Celtics off the boards and kept them from getting even closer in this game. So, again, the final score, 111 to 101. The Celtics dropped this one to the Nets in Brooklyn. And, again, the call lines are open. The FanDuel call lines, 347-215-7771. I'll be taking your calls all night. Make sure that you press 1 if you want to come on the air and talk about this game tonight. But, again, the FanDuel toll-free call lines are now open. The toll-free number, 347-215-7771. And I'm going to ask you this question. Do you love FanDuel as much as me? Hit me up on Twitter. That's at @CLNS_Sean, S-E-A-N, and let me know. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use my code Celtics and sign up now. We have special free offers just for new users. And a special offer for our listeners. Enter a FanDuel league now, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money. I'm going to say that again. If you don't win, FanDuel will refund your money. So enter a FanDuel league now. Any contest you want, up to $10, just make a deposit, choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money back in your FanDuel account. The only way to get this exclusive no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, use the promo code Celtics. That's promo code Celtics, and anyone can play. This is a fantastic deal. So go to FanDuel.com, use the CLNS promo code Celtics. Don't forget to use my code Celtics at FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today. And the FanDuel toll-free call lines remain open at 347-215-7771. All right. Catch my breath here for a second. And, you know, obviously the talk and Nick had alluded to during his phone call earlier around the Celtics and the Nets has become around the draft picks that the Celtics own, particularly this next one, because it's a first-round pick, because it's unprotected, because the Nets before tonight's game only had two wins on the season and only had you know, a couple teams that that were worse than them right now in the standings. You know, obviously the Nets as an organization, they went for it, you know, a couple of years ago. They made this huge deal with the Celtics. They pick up Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Jason Terry, and, you know, along with Lopez and Johnson, you know, and they had Deron Williams at the time running the point. I mean, they were going for a title, and the chemistry just wasn't there, right? You know, obviously Pierce and Garnett had some great chemistry, and you know, they won a championship here seven years ago now. Wow, it seems like it hasn't been that long, but it's been 7 years now. So, you know, the Nets obviously in their ownership and management wanted to take some of that chemistry, and they had some pieces around it that that they thought might get them the title, and it just didn't happen. And, you know, they broke it apart very quickly. They had a small window. They had a very small window, even smaller than the one that Danny Ainge had back when he traded for Kevin Garnett. And we can get into the whole Ainge-McHale thing as well. You know, obviously McHale was with the Timberwolves when the Garnett trade went down. But, yeah, so, I mean, the Nets had a very small window with the ages of Pierce and Garnett and obviously with, you know, some salary cap issues that they had, being able to bring the right pieces around those two. And you know, I mean, to a certain extent, they could sort of build a team around those guys, but also they needed to be able to have the flexibility to, you know, to bring in pieces in case those guys did show their age a little bit. And, you know, obviously there's been some fall off in both of their games. I think, you know, Pierce now with the Clippers is in a good situation, playing for Doc again. You know, Garnett is likely in his last season back, you know, back in Minnesota where it all started for him. And, you know, he's taken these young guys under his wing and been a great mentor for them. You know, but going back to the Nets days, it was, you know, they were going to both go for that one more title, you know, play a couple more years. And that didn't end up happening in Brooklyn. So now they're in a situation where, you know, they have unloaded all of these picks to the Celtics, and it's not just next year, it's the next couple of years, and an opportunity for into 2018 even. And, you know, Brooklyn does not have a lot to show for that trade anymore. And, you know, that is got to be tough to be able to go out there and put, you know, good effort out there on a night in, night out basis, knowing full well that, you know, the chances of you being a playoff team or the chances of you, you know, competing in any sort of capacity, even in the Atlantic Division, never mind the Eastern Conference, is pretty, pretty slim. So, you know, they're going to take wins like tonight against the Celtics, you know, as you know, moral victories in more ways than one, right? So they got the victory, but it's, you know, they got a even more of a victory because they beat the Celtics, especially after the way they played Friday night. I mean, Friday night, it was night and day between how the Celtics played on Friday night and how they played today and how the Nets played Friday night and how they played today. I mean, their body language was completely different from the very get-go. You know, that's one of the things as Celtics fans, obviously we want to see the improvement of our team and, you know, see guys like Avery Bradley continue to become consistent, and obviously the Smart injury hurts more than we even know right now. And hopefully it's only 2 weeks and not the 6 weeks that some reports out there have been. You know, obviously we want them to continue to improve, continue to gel, play like they did Friday night, night in and night out, and also have the Nets play like they did Friday night, night in and night out. and get that pick as high as they can. Or, you know, obviously there's some that are in the camp of flipping that pick for somebody that's going to make an impact on your team now and maybe take what you have in the core and improve that. I'm not a fan of college basketball all that much. I watch in March when it's important, when it gets down to, you know, to March Madness and, the games like RJ Hunter had with Georgia State and playing for his dad, seeing those types of games happen. That's when it gets exciting for me. So, you know, throughout the season, I really don't pay that much attention to it unless it's a really, really big game. I do watch the Duke and North Carolinas and, you know, some of the big, big matchups that NCAA basketball has to offer once in a while, maybe not beginning to end, you know, maybe catch you, a quarter or two here and there. I'm not really privy to who the Celtics could get if they had a top five pick that would be, you know, that would take this team to the next level. I don't think there's anybody in that draft, as far as I know, and I know very little, as opposed to some other of our experts at CLNS Radio. So I'm leaning towards the camp of being able to take that pick and flip it for somebody that's going to make an impact on your team now. Now, it's still early. It's still, you know, we're getting towards the end of November here. And you got to remember, though, that the Celtics made the Rajon Rondo trade last year in December. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it can happen before February when the trade deadline comes up. But, you know, I'm leaning towards that position that the Celtics could get somebody impactful and hopefully, impactful in the front court. Nick and I talked about this earlier. Their front court struggled tonight. So guys like David Lee and Sullinger and Zeller, who, you know, has been, kind of invisible almost in the past month or so, I would say, these guys are They're not championship caliber, although David Lee did win a championship last year, but obviously in a very supporting role. I don't think these guys are going to get the Celtics to the promised land. And when they get into the playoffs and they get deep into series, they're going to need, they're going to need somebody that can be a rim protector, somebody that can be a wing scorer or, not somebody that's going to play 18 minutes and not get any rebounds. So, last week we had folks on our network calling to just unload David Lee and say, see you later. Mike Gorman, who's the voice of the Boston Celtics and, is really, has his finger on the pulse of the day-to-day of what's going on with that team, says that David Lee is playing basketball, and I take Mike Gorman at his word. So if he believes that, then obviously that he's seeing something that some of us are not. So, I'll get back to that in a second. As you know, CLNS Radio is the best of written, spoken, and watched Boston sports coverage. For the best of AV, turn to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel. It's bigger and better than ever. I mean, not only do we have high-definition locker room interviews, full-length locker room interviews, and the Garden Report, which is our HD post-game show shot right on the parquet floor at the TD Garden, we have the Grandstand Celtics locker room report as well. So if you don't know what Grandstand is, it's sports highlights from fans in the stands. So on the new sports app, Grandstand, you can actually share your own Celtics highlights and watch other fans' videos straight from the crowd. So you can actually download the Grandstand on at the App Store or at grandstand.me. But in addition, we have a brand new show on our YouTube channel. It's Celtics Beat Unfiltered. If you haven't seen this, you should go to youtube.com/CLNS right now and subscribe so that you can watch Celtics Beat Unfiltered with not only Larry H. Russell in the flesh. You can see him. You don't just hear him anymore. You can see him. But also Harris Rubenstein as well, who has been contributing to CLNS Radio and has had a podcast on our network before. So, I mean, the two of them are great together. So if you haven't seen it yet, youtube.com/CLNS Radio and check it out. All right. Again, call lines are open, 347-215-7771. Again, the Celtics lose this one to the Brooklyn Nets, 111 to 101. Call lines are kind of slow tonight. Obviously, Nick called in and gave some great insight. Call lines are kind of slow, so we'll see what happens over the next few minutes or so and might wrap up a little bit early. But I'll leave the call lines open as long as possible, as long as you folks are calling in and giving your thoughts on this one tonight. And I'd be interested to hear your take on the Celtics losing this game to the Nets tonight, particularly with the unprotected draft pick out there and, obviously wanting the Nets to lose as much as humanly possible this season. As I said, I mean, the Nets, they don't really have any superstars. They went for it, and now they've blown it up, really. They still have Brook Lopez. They brought him back. I mean, he's a guy that, like I said, tonight had 23 points and 10 rebounds. He's very serviceable in the middle. I honestly wouldn't mind a guy like that with the Celtics. He's got the length. Obviously his defense might leave a little bit to the imagination, but I think he can be more of a rim protector than Amir Johnson has been in some of the games that I've seen him play in. But they have a lot of work to do. And obviously, moving that team from Jersey over into Brooklyn, Brooklyn's already struggling with their hockey team. They just brought those guys in. So, to see the Nets be pretty close a couple of years ago, to getting back to where they were in the early 2000s, obviously back-to-back finals appearances and whatnot. It's going to be a little while for them. So we'll see what happens because the next couple of years, as far as the draft is concerned, all of the Nets picks go to the Celtics. Excuse me. Yeah. So, obviously for me, I'm watching the ticker for two games. Whoever the Celtics are playing and, whoever the Nets are playing and hopefully whoever the Nets are playing are beating them. So again, call lines are open 347-215-7771. The FanDuel call lines are open. As I said, the Celtics are staying on the road this week to face the Atlanta Hawks on Tuesday night. The voice of the Celtics postgame show, Matt Rory, will be taking your calls on that one. He was scheduled to be the host of tonight's show, and him and I switched so that I could be you could be hearing my voice on CLNS radio airwaves today. But Tuesday night after the Hawks game, and then Wednesday night they come back home, and we'll have Jared Weiss back with the Grandstand App Celtics Locker Room Report Wednesday night versus the Philadelphia 76ers. So hopefully, they can hang tough against the Hawks on Tuesday night and then, help themselves out by getting maybe stealing another victory away from the Hawks and then doing the same on Wednesday night when it'll be a little bit easier for them against the 0-14. Currently 0-14 Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I'm looking at the schedule now. I want to see if the Sixers have a chance. Well, they're playing the Timberwolves tomorrow night, so we'll see if they get their first victory before they play the Celtics on Wednesday night. Now, the 76ers, I mean, the Celtics have already played them. They beat them on opening night of the season. Obviously, I don't want the Celtics to look ahead here because they have a tough game against the Atlanta Hawks on Tuesday night. Their starting lineup are all averaging in double digits in scoring, led by Paul Millsap with 17.9 points a game, Al Horford 16.7 points a game, Jeff Teague 16.8 points a game, and then they got Bazemore averaging 12 and Korver averaging just over 10. So, obviously the Celtics want to go out and prove that the last time these two teams played in Boston that it was not a fluke. But that is not going to be an easy game for them to win on Tuesday night, especially minus the services of Marcus Smart. As I said earlier, I think this is this is going to be a painful injury for them in more ways than one. Obviously, painful for Marcus Smart himself, but painful for the team as any sort of rhythm they seem to develop with Marcus Smart in the lineup and in that rotation. You know, the last few games that the Celtics have played, even the loss to Dallas, they played very well throughout that game, had a lead early in that game. We're up by 18 in the first quarter. And, you know, they seem to be developing a good chemistry with, you know, Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, with Isaiah Thomas now in the starting lineup, and Avery Bradley coming off the bench. You're getting good bench contributions from guys like Lee for the most part, you know, Jarebko here and there. You know, even the rookies, you know, RJ Hunter has provided some sparks. So these guys are all going to have to step up. They're going to have that Patriots, that Bill Belichick, that Patriot way mentality where it's just do your job and it's next man up. So Avery Bradley is going to be back on the starting lineup. Obviously, it didn't affect him negatively at all tonight. He played great. You know, obviously that's going to put a little bit more pressure on guys like RJ Hunter, maybe guys like Terry Rozier, we'll see, to contribute and to, you know, obviously make an impact. You know, Evan Turner has had some games where he has struggled quite a bit. He's going to have to come off the bench and be, you know, a little bit more consistent as well, because he does have the ability to, you know, to spark this team and be the facilitator. And, you know, especially off the bench, he's going to be, you know, with Thomas in the starting lineup, he's going to be looked at as somebody, you know, that's going to have to lead this team. So I think Evan Turner is going to be extremely important to the Celtics over the next couple of weeks here, but also Avery Bradley as well. Also Isaiah Thomas as well. These guys need to, you know, be putting up 20 plus point games. You know, Evan Turner tonight, 32 minutes, had 13.7 rebounds, 3 assists. If he could do that consistently, you know, then they're going to, you know, they'll make it through these next few weeks here without Marcus Smart just fine. Now, if we see the Evan Turner that we do see sometimes where, you know, he struggles, he's not the facilitator, he's only shooting the ball 3 or 4 times and, you know, not contributing in other stats like assists and rebounds. And, you know, Avery Bradley goes cold for a while or he gets kind of streaky and, you know, he has a couple games where he's struggling and, you know, the front court continues to play like they did tonight, then it's going to be a long couple weeks and we're really going to want that to be the 2 weeks over the 6 weeks, even more than we already do now. But, you know, obviously after the game against the Hawks, which is, as I said, is going to be a, you know, a pretty tough game for them. They do have the 76ers coming into the Garden on Wednesday. You know, and like I said, they should be able to get a victory against a winless team. And then they play the Wizards on Friday. So, you know, there's a couple of games coming up. They have the Magic over the weekend before they have to play the Heat on Monday. And the Heat have been playing very well. The Heat are off to an 8-4 start. Obviously, they make a trade to send Mario Chalmers to Memphis. You know, they got their starting lineup is playing very well. You know, that's going to be another tough game for them. So between, you know, the Hawks and the Heat are the bookends of the next week of games for the Celtics. They need to play well in those games and get the victories against the 76ers and, you know, and the Wizards and the Magic. So if they can, you know, if they can go 3-2 in those games, over the next week or so, I think I'd be very happy with that. Again, 347-215-7771. The FanDuel call lines will remain open as long as they possibly can. But our friends over at TickIQ, that's T-I-Q-I-Q, just released a fantastic rewards-based mobile ticket buying app. These guys already have the cheapest tickets for all Boston sports. And now with their mobile app, you can save up to 10% more on tickets to any live event. You can set price alerts to be notified when tickets within your price range become available, as well as see all the top deals for games at the Garden, Gillette, and on the road. They aggregate all ticket sellers on one platform and have the most competitive prices out there. So head to the Apple App Store to download the TickIQ app and start saving today. That's T-I-Q-I-Q, and use the promo code BOSTON, 10% off of your first purchase. I myself am anxious to get to a Celtics game very soon with the way this team is playing. I've got a few home games here obviously with the holidays, you know, I have some time off to hopefully get to a game. So certainly, you know, I would do so utilizing my TickIQ app and using the promo code Boston. All right. So as we wrap up here, it's obviously the call lines are cold now. All of you are just steaming right now at the fact that the Celtics lost this game to the Nets 111-101. It's rendered you speechless, and you have nothing to say to call in and talk about tonight. But again, you know, we'll be back on Tuesday after the game against the Hawks. Matt Rury and I'm not sure who the co-host is on Tuesday with Matt, but they'll be taking your calls throughout as well on the FanDuel call lines, toll-free. Hopefully the Celtics will get it back on Tuesday night after dropping this one by 10 tonight. And I let off the show with this because we had the voice of the Boston Celtics, Mike Gorman, Larry H. Russell had him on Celtics Beat. If you haven't listened to this episode, by all means, you know, go to the podcast app on iTunes right now. Go to Stitcher, go to the CLNS Radio app, and download this episode now. You know, this is Mike Gorman has been the voice of the Celtics for 35 years now. You know, obviously when the playoffs come around, the you know, and the games go to the national broadcast teams. You know, obviously from back in the 80s, we're used to hearing Dick Stockton and Tom Heinsohn, and I'm lucky to still have Heinsohn around on the local broadcast. But you know, for the most part, any key important moment that has happened to the Boston Celtics in the last 35 years, you've heard from it from the voice of Mike Gorman, and that is why his Twitter handle is so aptly named Celtics Voice, because he really truly is the voice of the Celtics. We were privileged to have him on the show, and it's a great episode. And obviously Larry does a fantastic job with this interview and with every interview that he does on Celtics Beat. And obviously now with the Unfiltered show as well, he's been on location with his interviews on that. So you definitely want to check out the Mike Gorman interview on Celtics Beat. But don't forget about the new show, Celtics Beat Unfiltered, on the YouTube channel as well. So I guess that's it for the Celtics postgame show tonight. I understand your frustrations and you know, not wanting to discuss it tonight, but we'll be back on Tuesday after the Hawks game. So give us a call then. The FanDuel call lines will be open with the host, the voice of the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, Matt Rury. We'll take your calls throughout the night then. Thank you so much for listening tonight, and we will catch you on Tuesday. Since I will not be on the air for the next couple of weeks here, I hope everyone has a fun and safe Thanksgiving, and I will catch you next time on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show tonight. The Brooklyn Nets take it from the Boston Celtics 111-101. Thank you so much. Good night.